We want to welcome you to this worship service, wherever you are. We are excited to have you here, and we're wishing that we could be in person, but we're grateful for this technology, and I know that I've talked to many of you, and we've gotten a lot of feedback from different people that are tuning in and finding this to be helpful, meaningful, encouraging in your faith, and just a way for us to continue gathering together in worship. We don't know what that's going to look like in the weeks ahead, but we do know what we're going to focus on in worship in the 6 or 7 weeks ahead of us. We've been walking with Peter. Last week, Joshua ended our journey between Peter and Jesus in a post-resurrection account that just changed so much for Peter. And instead of leaving Peter behind, we're actually going to continue to be with Peter. But in the next 6 or 7 weeks, we're going to look at what Peter wrote, not what he did as much as what he said in his first letter to a group of Christians who were struggling to follow Jesus, who were trying to follow Jesus in a very difficult time where there was a lot of suffering and persecution. So what would Simon say? What would Peter say to these Christians scattered throughout the region who needed encouragement, who needed help, who needed direction? That's where we're going to go. And to take you back a couple weeks to Easter Sunday, we looked at just the first couple verses of 1 Peter, and Jason's going to do that today, but there was that living hope that he talked about, having a living hope. And so may we, as we worship, as we continue to follow Jesus, may we be filled with that living hope in Christ and Christ alone. Let's worship. In just a minute, we're going to do a children's sermon, but I do want to say a word about giving. Thank you for being faithful in your giving. Some good news, the end of March, we were sort of right where we expected to be as far as giving and income for our mission and ministry. That's amazing, but what we weren't sure about was, what about April? And no services at all in April except for online. Well, it turns out that as of Tuesday, actually more had come in the month of April than either March or February. So you are an amazing congregation. We are grateful for your generosity and just want to encourage you to keep giving. You can give online. You can mail and check. Some of you are doing it electronically. We do know that our online giving has gone way up. So we're glad that you could use that tool. But there's more than just giving financially. You are giving in so many other ways. And just a big thank you to those of you who are calling and checking in on people, to those of you who are shopping and running errands for people. We're grateful for that ministry as well. And that's another way to give of your time and your love to others. We also want to make everyone aware of the fact that we received $1,500 in a grant to specifically help those who need food or need food replenished in our congregation. There's lots of other things happening in the community, but we were given a means to help meet needs in our own church. So as those of you who are struggling continue to struggle, please reach out. Please don't be afraid to ask. It will be hard for us to ask everyone. It will not be hard for us to respond. So if you want to respond to me confidentially, we can begin that process. But praise God that he's given us extra funds just to help with food needs in our congregation. There's other funds that have come in. Apparently, the first tax refund of $1,200 was given directly to our church to help families in need, and that might be lots of different needs. So we have the ability, we have the funds, and we have the desire to help you in any way we can. So thank you for that. What I would love to have happen now is for all the kids, wherever you are, I'm hoping you're in kind of a living room space or a place where you have some place to move around. So I want you to get up if you can, and moms and dads, if you can help kind of separate brothers and sisters if you have more than one kid in the living room, just separate them, give you some space. We're going to play a game. I know you've played this game before. If you haven't, it's really simple. It's a game called Simon Says. Have you heard of that game? So Simon Says, real simple, if Simon says to do something, then you do it. If Simon doesn't tell you to do something, but I tell you to do something, you don't have to do it or you shouldn't do it, okay? That's how it goes. Now, I can't see you, so I don't know whether or not you are doing what Simon says or not, but I'm going to trust your parents, your mom or dad, to say, okay, you're still in, and then I'm going to do about 8 or 9 Simon Says, and hopefully some of you get to the end. But if some of you don't, just have a seat, and we'll just kind of go as far as we can go. Okay, are you ready? So stand up. Remember, if Simon says, then go ahead and do it. If it's only Tom that says it, Don't budge, okay? So Simon says, touch your ear. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, let go of your ear and stop touching your nose. Simon says, give yourself a little hug. Simon says, smile real big. Simon says, jump up and down. I'll let you jump. I won't jump. Okay. Simon says, jump up and down. Simon says, keep jumping up and down. Good job. Excellent. Way to go. You getting out of breath yet? Keep going. Now stop. Simon didn't say stop. So some of you, I hope, are still going. Now Simon says, stop jumping. All right, we got a few more. Ready? That was about six or seven. Simon says, put your hands out both ways. Simon says, wave with both hands. Simon says, blow kisses to Pastor Tom. Simon says, wink if you can. Wink with both eyes. Nope, you shouldn't have done that either because Simon didn't say. All right. Now, I think you've been doing a great job. I can't see you, but I just know you guys. You're active, you listen well, you're energetic. So I bet you've been doing a great job. I just wanted to tell you that I was practicing before I did this with you, and I didn't know who to practice with because no one's at church. So I found a bunch of kids. Believe it or not, we had a bunch of kids here at church, and I tried to play Simon Says with them, and guess what? They didn't move at all. They didn't laugh. They didn't lift up their arms. They didn't touch their nose. They just sat there. And I want you to see how pathetic it was. Look at this. They just sat there. Some of them looked kind of frightened, but most of them just looked like they didn't want to do anything. Can you believe that? I'm so glad that you guys played Simon Says with me. Now, if that's all we were going to do in church is play Simon Says, that would be kind of weird, right? Because we're not just playing games here. We're trying to learn and grow as followers of Jesus. So what we're going to do is play a different kind of Simon Says. And every week, we're going to learn something that Simon said. Now, there's a guy in the Bible named Simon. And some of you already know who I'm talking about. He had a different name than Simon. He was called Simon and another name. Do you remember what that was? We've been talking about him for the last several weeks. Simon's other name was Peter, right? So we're going to actually read a letter that Peter wrote or Simon wrote to a bunch of followers of Jesus who were having a really hard time following Jesus because a lot of people didn't want him to follow Jesus anymore. A lot of mean people didn't want him to follow Jesus. And they were really having to risk and trust and stay close to Jesus every day to follow him faithfully. So Simon said a lot of things in this letter about how to live and how to treat each other and how to talk to each other. He even said stuff about kids and parents. So there's going to be stuff that applies directly to you and to all of us. That's what we're going to do. And remember, it's not just what Simon says. It's not just what Tom or Jason, or Janet, or Joshua, or anyone says. It's about what God says. And we actually believe that God wanted to say something to the followers of Jesus. So he said some things to Peter, who wrote them in a letter, and then he said them and sent them on so people could hear what God actually said, not just what Simon said. So that's what we're going to do. I want to pray for you as you follow Jesus and as we listen to what Simon says, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, help each of the boys and girls in our church family and help other boys and girls in our neighborhoods. Help the boys and girls we go to school with that we don't get to see very much anymore. Help all of us, adults as well, to listen to what you say and to do what you ask us to do and follow where you ask us to go. We trust you, and we are grateful that you have spoken to us through the Bible. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks for playing Simon Says with me. I will see you, or someone's going to see you. Maybe Miss Janet will see you next week.
Our scripture passage is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. This is wonderful. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They were told that their message was not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. So growing up, one of the games we played a lot as kids was Simon Says. Classic game, right? And I think what made it so great was that it required no supplies, no really setup. All you needed was a group of kids. One person would be Simon, and the rest of the group would listen closely as Simon gave them directions on what to do. Simon says, put your hand on your nose. Simon says, wiggle your ear. Simon says, give a thumbs up. All right, now wave your hands all around. And it was in that moment, as you got caught up in the excitement of Simon Says, you realize that Simon didn't say. And that was the catch, right? If you ended up doing something that Simon didn't begin with saying Simon says, then you were out. And whoever lasted the longest would then get to be the next Simon and tell everyone what to do. And let's be honest, what kid doesn't love to do that? And so, in a fun and unique perspective, we are kicking off our new teaching series, Simon Says. And as Tom mentioned, the Simon that we are referring to is none other than Simon Peter, the same Simon that we've been walking with these last couple of months. And the reason that we should listen to Simon Peter and do what Simon says is because he was perfect, right? No, definitely not. Walking with Peter, we had a front row seat to see many of his failures and shortcomings. Not to mention that he denied and lied about knowing Jesus, not once, but three different times. But here is why, at least for me, why I want to listen to what Simon Peter says and why we should listen. For one, he knew and he lived and he walked with Jesus. And so much of what he has to say is out of the time that he spent with Jesus, listening to what Jesus said, learning to do what Jesus did, following what Jesus taught. And not only that, we see the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in Peter's life. Also, as we heard last week from Joshua, Peter was redeemed by Jesus, and not only forgiven, but he was commissioned to love and take care of God's people, which is a reminder and a calling for all of us Peter was not perfect and had some pretty epic fails, but he continually stepped out and stepped forward to follow Jesus. And honestly, Peter is a lot like us in the sense that we also have received God's grace and God's mercy. And like Peter, if we step out in obedience, we are the same type of people that God is looking for, that God seeks and desires to use for his kingdom come and for his will to be done, to share the good news of Jesus. Peter reminds me of a quote I recently came across, and that is, it is better to follow Jesus and perhaps fail, which we all do, than to fail to follow Jesus. It is better to follow Jesus and fail than to fail at following Jesus. And so after we left off with Peter on the beach, we see God at work in amazing ways through Peter all throughout the book of Acts. We see as the church is growing and the gospel is being spread, we see how Peter takes seriously Jesus' great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And during that time, Peter also wrote some letters. And these were letters of encouragement. These were letters of hope to Christians who were scattered and suffering. That is, followers of Jesus who were going through difficult times and facing hard circumstances, which I believe is something that we can all relate to. And so for this series, we are looking at one of those letters, and that is 1 Peter, and we are looking at what Simon says. And so Simon Peter begins his letter stating who it is from and who it is for. And just in these first two verses, we see that there is so much encouragement and depth to what Peter is saying. And so let me read that again. It says, "This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia," which, if you're not familiar with Middle Eastern maps, that is modern-day Turkey. And then Peter goes on. He says, "God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace." Wow. I mean, talk about an amazing and awesome, encouraging greeting. And what I want us to notice here is who this letter is for. It is for God's chosen people. It is for God's chosen people who the Holy Spirit has set apart, who the Holy Spirit has made holy, and who have responded in faith and obedience to Jesus and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so this letter and these words and this encouragement is as much for us as it was for those first century Christians that Peter was writing to. And so, my fellow brothers and sisters, my fellow Christians, may God give you more and more grace and peace, which personally I could sure use a lot of right now. And so now we get to our first Simon Says of our series here in verse 3. It says, "But by God's great mercy we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation," or living hope in other translations. And so Simon says, live with great expectation. Live with great expectation. So how do we live with great expectation? How do we live with great expectation, especially during a time where many of our great expectations are met with great disappointments and great frustration? I mean, we can all probably think of some time in our life where we actually experienced living with great expectation, with great joy, even if it was for a brief moment. Maybe it was a vacation or the birth of a child, a celebration, a sunrise or sunset, gathering with family and friends, seeing your favorite sports team win, and so on and so on. Personally, I think of Christmas with our girls and the months and the days and the weeks that led up to Christmas morning. All that anticipation that builds as they lived with great expectation of the coming celebration of Jesus' birth. And not only that, of course, the lights and the food, and you can't forget the presents. And then seeing their faces and seeing their great expectation and hope burst into joy and happiness on Christmas morning. Also for me, I've experienced this great expectation in running ultra marathons, living with great expectation of race day and eventually crossing that finish line. The great expectation that comes with the months of training and the highs and the lows of bliss and struggle during the race. And to then overcome all of that and seeing myself cross the finish line causes me to run, to walk, and even crawl with great expectation. But perhaps for many of us, that feeling of living with great expectation seems like something in a distant memory or a far-off feeling. And so what does it mean to live with great expectation? Well, Peter gives us some great insight and answers to this in his letter. And not only that, but these words here, these words are meant to be words of grace and words of encouragement, especially when faced with difficult times and seasons of struggle. And so to answer the question, I want to look at three things in regards to living with great expectation. The first is the basis, or the why we can live with great expectation. Then second, what happens as we live with great expectation? And then finally, what does it look like to live with great expectations now? And so first, what is the basis on which we can live with great expectation? What is the why? Well, right there in verse 3, Peter tells us. He says we can live with great expectation because in God's grace and in God's mercy, we have been born into hope, and it's a living hope who is Jesus, the one who conquered death, who conquered sin, and has saved us and is making all things new. Paul reminds us of this hope in Ephesians 2, and that says, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And so we can live with great expectation because of the hope found in Christ who brought us into the family of God. As I mentioned earlier, great expectation, this phrase here is also translated a living hope, or as living hope. Living involves being in the present tense, whereas hope involves looking forward. And so as followers of Jesus, we live in the present tense with a great expectation of the future. And the great expectation of the future is the hope that we have when Christ returns and when God's kingdom has fully arrived and is fully established. It's the great expectation that we read in Revelation 21. It says, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" And so living with great expectation is based on the reality that we have a living hope. It's not a hope that is shallow or uncertain or just a wishful thinking or a hope for, but it's a type of hope that is confident, that is with deep conviction, that is with big trust in the promises of God that are rooted in the work of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but we also have great expectation that Peter refers to as our priceless inheritance. Our priceless inheritance. And this inheritance is unlike any other inheritance. This inheritance is protected by God. It is incorruptible. It is undefiled. It is unfading. It will never let us down. And maybe in our present reality, it may feel as if everything here on earth is being taken away or canceled or ruined or even destroyed. But there is nothing. There is no person, no situation, no force, no enemy, no virus that can take away our inheritance. The inheritance that is our salvation through Jesus Christ, that is our identity as the beloved sons and daughters of God. And so, because of this, Peter encourages us to live with great expectation. So then that second part, what happens as you live, or what happens as we live with great expectation? For one, we experience and we grow in our faith. Verse 5 says, and through your faith, God is protecting you. Verse 7, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ returns. And then verse 8, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. In other words, you have faith in him. And so even as we face difficult circumstances, even as we face trying times and even suffering, as Peter mentions in verse 6, we can know that even as this is not God's desire for us, he is still in control, and it is not outside his sovereignty or his redemption. There is grace to match every difficulty and every trial. And there is no difficulty and there is no trial without his grace. He redeems and he uses our suffering and difficult times to pour out his grace and to grow our faith and to build our great expectation of his kingdom to fully come. This again is our hope. It's our living hope, which Paul highlights this truth in Romans chapter 8. He says, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In other words, we wait for it with great expectation. We live with great expectation. And as we do so, our faith grows and our faith deepens. Not only that, but we experience a glorious and inexpressible joy, which Peter tells us about in verse 6 and 8. See, the thing about hope and joy is that these two go together hand in hand. They go together like peanut butter and jelly, or peas and carrots, or Tuesdays and tacos. That's my favorite one. And this inexpressible joy we experience is based on the knowledge and experience that God has revealed his saving grace to us in Jesus Christ. And that we are a new creation, that we are adopted into the family of God, and will one day take part in the fullness of joy in God's glory and salvation. This is the joy of our salvation. This is the good news, and it is so awesome and so wonderful that as Peter points out in verse 12, even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. And then lastly, what does it look like to live with great expectation? What does it look like to live with great expectation? And then how do we live with great expectation in the midst of our current reality? A reality that is constantly changing and at times feels overrun by fear and grief and great loss and great disappointment. Well, first, I think it's important to acknowledge that this is hard. This reality is difficult. We've never experienced anything like this. And so we can admit that this is more difficult than we ever thought it was going to be. But living with great expectation, especially in the midst of difficult circumstances, I think it begins by being honest. Being honest with ourselves, being honest with God, being honest with others. It is naming the things that you are feeling and naming the things that you are experiencing and struggling with. It's finding the grace and the freedom to say, I'm not okay. I'm struggling. I'm angry. I'm afraid. I'm disappointed. I'm sad. See, living with great expectation, it doesn't mean that we have to hold it all together or to throw on a happy face and pretend like everything is okay and that we are doing fine. It doesn't mean that you have to be either joyful or sorrowful. It doesn't mean that you have to be either happy or sad, grieving or rejoicing. See, it's not an either-or thing, but instead, living with great expectation is living in the tension of the hope of what is promised to come and what is now and real, which includes brokenness, sorrow, grief, and loss. Just a couple weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, and we celebrated the living hope of Jesus who defeated death, who defeated sin. And in Easter, we are reminded of the truth and hope that it won't always be this way, the things that we are experiencing now. But for now, we do. We live in the tension. We live in the tension of the already but not yet kingdom of God. We live between the already fullness of joy and the not yet reality of sorrow. It is the sorrowful yet always rejoicing we are experiencing that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And so, we can live with great expectation. We can live with great expectation knowing and believing that God will meet us where we are at. That in being honest and acknowledging that things aren't the way that they are supposed to be, we can look forward with hope, with trust. We can look forward with great expectation, knowing that God is at work, that God is faithful to his promises, and that there is nothing that can separate us from his love. There is nothing that can take away the priceless inheritance of our salvation and grace that God has for us in our living hope, Jesus Christ. And so let's be encouraged and let's do as Simon says and let us live with great expectation. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks for who you are, for your mercy and for your grace. God, we thank you for a living hope that we have in Jesus Christ, a living hope that cannot be touched by anything else, a living hope that no one can take away from us. And so, God, fill us with your peace. Fill us with your comfort. Meet us where we're at and remind us that it's okay to not be okay. That you are with us in and through all of this. God, help our faith to deepen. Help our faith to grow. Remind us of the hope that we have, the hope that is yet to come. The hope of the joy of our salvation. God, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for all that you are. God, we thank you that you are here with us right now, each and every one of us. We give you praise. We give you glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.